Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Some good news for the Titans yesterday on the injury front. We'll get to more of that coming up next. Continue to look ahead to the Titans coming up against the Arizona Cardinals as well. That's coming up next. Right now, though, speaking of week one, check out my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. Week one is finally here. The fridge is stocked. The recliner's ready. Now all you got to do is log into FanDuel Sportsbook and claim your risk-free bet. That's right. FanDuel is giving all customers a risk-free bet just in time for week one of the NFL season. And some interesting lines that are out there right now in the National Football League. Kansas City, 5.5-point favorites against the Cleveland Browns. A lot of hype on Cleveland this year, but give me Kansas City to win that game and to cover that spread. But you take it any way you want to take it. The money line, the over-under, prop bets, same-game parlays, everything on the table. It's one of the many reasons why FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. And you can use FanDuel Sportsbook on any week one game. There are so many ways to play. And if you're new, sign up today with promo code ROB to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Once again, that promo code is ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.com. FanDuel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Patrick Mahomes.
You think I'm Patrick Mahomes too? Whose jersey is this?
I mean, I'm not Patrick Mahomes. Are you Dak Prescott?
Yeah.
So good to see you.
So good to see you.
So you can't keep getting me and Patrick confused.
Yeah, you got
it. I don't have the hair. He's got the hair.
So
he's got the hair like you.
Dak Prescott.
I'm Dak Prescott.
It's good to see you.
It is good to see Dak Prescott. We saw him last night playing very well for the Cowboys against Tampa Bay. Ultimately, though, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, too much to overcome. And by the way, Joe, we got through that entire segment. Did not bring up Ryan Succop. What a kick to win that game for Tampa Bay.
Yes, Ryan Succop continues to be a very,
ice in his veins.
Very good kicker in the NFL.
Apparently so. We'll see if Sam Ficken can live up to that as we continue throughout the season here.
Big, yeah, it's a big, big, you know, so many storylines, and he's one who gets forgotten a little bit, but boy, it's a big one.
Got lots of great Titans coverage coming up your way here in the next hour. Paul Kaharsky from Outkick 360 and paulkaharsky.com joining us at 7:30. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, joining us at 8 o'clock. So a lot to get to coming up. Looking ahead at the Titans and the Cardinals in week one. And some good news on the injury front yesterday for the Titans. And, Joe, we talked yesterday on the show about A.J. Brown being back on the injury report with a knee injury, did not practice on Wednesday. He was out there yesterday, and in the limited period that the media got to see, A.J. Brown looked like he looked pretty good. As Teron Davenport described it, some naked knees out there for A.J. Brown. Didn't have anything on those knees, no wraps, no braces, nothing of the sort.
Yeah, so I think that the I think the AJ take Wednesday off. Maybe that doesn't happen moving forward. Maybe he feels great and he's like, no, I want to practice every day. But it seems like the AJ take Wednesday off, then come back for the biggest practice of the week, Thursday, theory is accurate. Because, yeah, again, even the day he missed, he's on the injury report. He's on the injury report for knee. But even the day he missed, you know, it just didn't. You know, he's coming in as the guys are practicing. He's in the street clothes. He's joking around. It doesn't seem like – obviously, if he would have not been out there yesterday, then the whole idea of, uh-oh, what happened Monday that we didn't see in practice,
right,
that comes out. But I think he's going to be fine. Now, again, are there still concerns with a knee that's on the injury report and you're missing practice after having surgery? Sure, but he's going to be out there Sunday. Julio Jones will be out there Sunday, and so that's Monday and Wednesday and Thursday with Julio Jones. Looked like Julio Jones. I said yesterday with TD and I were – TD was taking video. I had just taken video, and I was standing next to him watching, the receiver drills. Because I swear, the receiver drills now, you know, it's like the reporters – it's like the moths to the flame.
Yes.
You know, it's like where we're all gathered on the receiver drills. But I said after watching Julio Jones go through a drill, I was like, he's like Spider-Man, you know?
Yeah.
Like he's just like a superhero. Like his length, and Tannehill said it this week too, you know, the suddenness for someone that size is just gosh, that's just different.
I've had a feeling all week, and you know, I'm just gonna wait till Friday to talk about it because we've got our picks coming up a little bit later in the show as well. But for some reason, I've just had a feeling all week Julio Jones is going to have a big year. Like, you know, there's a lot of talk about Julio Jones. We've talked about it here on the show in terms of, you know, his time, how things ended in Atlanta, the health, 32 years old, all these different things. And obviously, like, I can't foresee whether or not Julio Jones is going to get hurt or not. So I'm assuming that he's going to play. But I think he is going to have a monster year to the point where, like, if you told me right now that Julio Jones had the greatest season a Titans receiver has ever had, I'd be like, okay, yeah, I could see that. I think Julio Jones is going to be really good this year.
Why didn't you tell me this before the fantasy drafts?
Well, that's exactly why I didn't tell you. No, I didn't end up
did
with Julio
take him?
Either.
No.
I have him in two leagues.
Oh, okay. So you did act on this.
Yeah.
You acted on this instinct.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I could see it. It's just hard for me to know how that's going to work out with three guys that you just really want to have the football.
Yeah.
You know, you want the football in the hands of Julio Jones as much as possible, but also Derrick Henry and also A.J. Brown. There's other teams around the league that have
top flight tight end Anthony Firkser.
Well, there's that too. There's other teams around the league that have, you know, you have to have multiple skill player threats to be, I think, a good team in this league, unless you have like some overwhelming defense or something.
Well, just look at Tampa Bay last night.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, Dallas.
Yeah. So it's just. It's hard to know exactly, but we just haven't seen this group together, obviously. And then there's the OC aspect of it too. Although I just don't think it's going to look. I mean, I don't think they're going to look like the same offense. I think it's just the same offense, but now you add number two, and it's going to be so much fun. I mean, I'm looking forward to the game. Like I'm almost looking forward to as much watching it over to see, you know, some things that, you know, during real time you don't have time to really look at like what the Cardinals are doing and how they're trying to deal with them. I think week to week it's going to be probably different things, but our team's going to ultimately say, look, we cannot let Derrick Henry just run wild,
right?
Or do AJ and Julio scare teams enough to make it look a little different out there this year?
Well, and it's interesting, and we talked about kind of the work that Julio Jones and Ryan Tannehill are going to have to make up as the season goes along here. And I thought Kayla Anderson had a really cool video yesterday of, you know, kind of the limited part of practice that you're able to see.
Yeah.
It's Tannehill and Julio Jones just talking to each other and working on routes and where he wants the ball, the type of routes and releases he's going to run, just – I thought a really good video by Kayla yesterday at practice.
That was a great video. And, yeah, like you could see it. They're just kind of like, okay, this, that, and that's the type of stuff you have to work out. And then he goes out and runs the route. Tannehill throws it. So are they going to be ready Sunday? Are they going to have mishaps? You know, or are they going to have a great – I mean, obviously you've got routes. You run routes.
Sure.
And – but there's still a timing. You know, you get that innate feel for someone if you're a quarterback, if you throw to them enough. So, and that's not going to be there. But have they had enough time to make it a pretty good connection right away? And I guess you could also say just get the ball quickly into Julio's hands and
see what he can do with it.
Yeah, because he's very good after the catch.
He is very good after the catch. A.J. Brown, very good after the catch. And the interesting matchup that we talked about yesterday was if that Titans offensive line can hold up and they can keep J.J. Watt, Chandler Jones, and company from being too disruptive. I think you feel good about the matchup at corner right now if you're the Titans. And you talk about being thrown into the fire for some of those Cardinals corners. Here's A.J. Brown one side, Julio Jones the other side. Have fun with that.
Yeah. And those guys have got to hope that the pass rush, the revamped pass rush, the highly paid pass rush.
It is highly paid.
You know, gets to Ryan Tannehill.
It's a little up there in years, too. J.J. Watt. Remember when the offseason discussion was whether or not the Titans should sign J.J. Watt?
Yeah.
And then we saw that price tag, and I was like, ooh. It's quite the price tag for J.J. Watt at this stage of his career.
That's kind of an interesting question. You know, if you are a Titans fan, are you happy that Bud Dupree is the high-priced defensive add, or would you prefer J.J. Watt?
Well, look, at the risk of being cold-taked later, give me the 28-year-old. I'll take the 28-year-old.
Well, I'd agree. I mean, I still think, you know, there's so much for him. And Bud Dupree, as much as we're excited to see Julio in this offense and what it all looks like, I mean, you could argue that Bud Dupree is as important a player as there is on the team. As important a new player, but even just as a player. Because if he makes the impact he's paid to make, then that's what we haven't seen at all, obviously, from this defense coming off the ACL. He's not going to play in a preseason game. But Shane Bowen, I specifically asked Shane Bowen about him yesterday, really just to kind of get a sense for, because we can't watch team anymore. And, you know, Bowen basically was like, yeah, he looks good out there. I mean, looking forward to seeing him Sunday. I mean, he's full go. He's going to start. I would expect – I just would think he's probably not really on a pitch count. Like, it's – here you go. Come right back. And if he comes in there and makes an impact, then I think the idea of this defense being a lot different holds a lot more water.
I do, too. Now, I do wonder about, and this is not really even specifically with just Bud Dupree, but I think a lot of players week one, and Chris Collinsworth talked about this on the broadcast last night, like there's a difference between practice speed, preseason game speed, and then regular season game speed. And when you've not really done much throughout the course of training camp in the preseason, what does your conditioning level look like in week one on what's going to be, you know, not an overly hot day at Nissan Stadium? It's not like it's going to be 100 degrees or anything, but it's a little warm out there. You're going to be sweating. How much can you hold up from a conditioning standpoint? And again, that's not just a Bud Dupree thing. I think that's pretty much an everybody thing week one.
Well, and that's a great point. And with him in particular, I think, because this is a tempo offense. I mean, Cliff Kingsbury, some people might call it collegey or whatever what they do, but yep. I mean, hey, it does make it tough to sub, and they go fast, and you have got to line up. And so I feel like it makes it important to feel like you have a third guy that you can say, okay, this is your series. Because, again, you're going to have a hard time subbing in the midst of a series a lot of times if they're going their fastest. So you got to feel like, okay, Rashad Weaver, this is your series. Are they comfortable there yet? We'll find out on that, too. Harold Landry, does he get a blow? Does he get a series
does
off?
Does he take one step off the field at any point when they're on defense? We'll find out coming up on Sunday against Arizona. Don't miss the 2021 Middle Tennessee Highland Games and Celtic Festival Saturday, September the 11th at Percy Warner Park. A fun-filled day full of Celtic games, children activities, Celtic music, food, Scottish and Irish dancers, local and regional vendors, and much more. Tickets are on sale now. Visit mid10games.com for more details. We'll be right back. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans with Paul Kaharski from Outkick 360 and paulkaharski.com. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to week one for the Titans coming up against the Cardinals. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Paul Kaharski from the Outkick 360 and paulkaharski.com. Paul, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. I am well and eager for Sunday to arrive.
We are eager as well. We finally made it. We've talked all offseason long about this NFL season, this Titans team. We're finally going to see it in action coming up on Sunday. Paul, before we look ahead to the game, you've gotten Rex Road incensed here on the show, which I know is
not hard to do.
Is relatively easy to do on that front, but he came out with a story at The Athletic trying to determine when's the last time a Titans team had this much hype, this much anticipation heading into a season, and he is not very happy with you, Jim Wyatt, and John Glennon with your answers.
No, hold on. Well, no, actually, hold on, okay, Paul. All right, yeah. I actually need to apologize to Glennon.
Okay.
So Glennon, although I disagree with Glennon, he answered the question correctly. So I'm going to say this question to you again, Paul, and we're going to work this out, and then you can apologize, and we can talk Titans.
Okay.
Here's the question. The question is, This is the most anticipated Titans season in Nashville since, which means
that's it.
Don't give any context.
The email you sent me. Let me answer the question. That's the email you sent.
Yep.
This is the most anticipated Titans season in Nashville since.
Yep.
And you sent it to the old guard.
Right.
Okay. And three of us came back with the correct answer last year. Because last year they were coming off an AFC championship game, and the sense was, hey, maybe they could get some home field, not go on the road, win the division and not be a wild card, and take this thing to the Super Bowl. The correct answer was last year.
No.
But you were looking for a story that said 2000. And so what you did is you went to Teresa Walker and David Beauclair, who gave you the answer you wanted, and you ignored the answer of Paul Kuharsky, Jim Wyatt, and John Glennon. Three-fifths of the people you talked to, which was the majority. So you wrote a story off of the minority answer that
fit the narrative you wanted.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, I was writing the story regardless. I was looking for a quote. Beauclair gave me a quote. Thank you, Beauclair. But listen, this is where you messed up. So this is, again, why I apologize to Glennon, because Glennon actually argued, and I disagree, but he argued, yeah, I think last year was more anticipated. You and Wyatt then yesterday tell me at the presser, oh, well, I think this year is a little more anticipated than last year. Then how could you not read English, Paul? If that's the case, then the question says it's equal to or greater than this year. When was the last time it was equal to or greater than this year? The most anticipated. So you answered it wrong. In the first place, if your answer later is, actually, no, this year is more anticipated. No, well, then what are you talking about? And I'd rather yell at you than Wyatt. Because
crazy.
What?
This is getting all heated and crazy. Let me read you the email he sent. For possible use in The Athletic, please answer this with a year and a comment if you'd like to add one, and thanks. This is the most anticipated Titans season in Nashville since, ...
And you think that this year is more anticipated than last year? Yes, you told me this yesterday.
It doesn't.
Did you say that?
Joe, nowhere in the question does it say more. It's the most anticipated Titans season in Nashville since last year. Simple answer.
Oh my God!
You phrased the question poorly, or you're rephrasing it now. You're saying
Paul,
more.
It's the most
anticipated Titans season in Nashville since last year.
The most since. That has to be
most
equal to or greater than. It has to be. You can't say, well, last year wasn't as anticipated, but it was last year, so let's go back to last year. No. If you say this year is more anticipated than last year cannot be your answer. You have to go back to whenever it was at least as anticipated as this year. This is basic logic in English. But, all right, ask him a Titans question.
I agree. I'll just have the final word on this. The most anticipated Titans season in Nashville since was an easy, simple question. The last time it was this anticipated or more anticipated was last year.
You said that yesterday that this year is more anticipated.
You said you're going to let him have the final word.
But he can't have the – that's ridiculous. Like, you are telling us that you either are completely failing in English or logic or both right now.
Most anticipated since. The last time
can I get a ruling on this?
Or more was last year.
I mean, I'm completely just.
Robbie's with me.
You did a successful job of making him more mad.
Michelle,
his face is extremely red right now.
Robbie, you know I'm right. Anybody out there who's listening to this conversation, it's you can't say most since and then say last year wasn't quite as much, but I'll just say last year.
Paul Kuharsky.
That makes no sense.
Paul Kuharsky from Outkick 360 and PaulKuharsky.com on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Paul, with all that in mind, obviously we've talked to you about this offense, what it could look like with the full complement of players on the field. I want to talk to you about Bud Dupree. Obviously, we've not seen him on the field yet in a Titans uniform. They've paid him a ton of money. In your mind, what constitutes a successful season for Bud Dupree, whether that's a sack total, impact on the defense? Take that answer however you want to take it.
Well, I kind of make this pledge when they go get one of the best guys at the position of need. I go all the way back to Yancey Thigpen, who was a disaster, right? But they needed a receiver that, like they have for, you know, all the way up until A.J. Brown, pretty much. They took a swing at the best receiver on the market when they signed Yancey Thigpen. He didn't work out. but it didn't make it the, you know, in hindsight, it was the wrong move because Yancey Thigpen wasn't very good. He got hurt, et cetera, et cetera. But they went for the best receiver on the market. I don't know if Bud Dupree was the best edge rusher on the market, but there was finally a market of edge rushers, and they went and got one. So, you know, I kind of pledged last year the nameless big-time pass rusher that they go get. I'm not going to say he's a failure if he doesn't get 10 sacks. For some reason, this team just does not value sacks. It talks disruption all the time. Maybe it's because, you know, Mike Vrabel didn't get as many sacks as he wanted when he was a pass rusher. I don't know. It's ridiculous to me because sacks end drives. But I think, you know, Shane Bowen basically said you can't tell that he's coming off of ACL. I don't know how many snaps he's going to get if he's on a pitch count, if they're not going to play him on rundowns yet. If he's disruptive and works in tandem with Harold Landry and is part of the pass rush being better, and by better I mean not settling for 19 sacks and saying it's not a problem, then it's a success to me. And he and Danico Autry, based on what they've done in the league, are significantly better than what the Titans had last year and have had for some time.
What do you think of the secondary right now? I mean, you know, they look good against mostly backups in camp, look good in the preseason. Do you think it's upgraded? Do you think Molden is ready right now to be a plus player in the slot?
I understand the excitement about Molden. I'm very anxious to see him as well. I talked to some people around the league about Janoris Jenkins. I still call him Janoris once in a while, despite his instruction, Jackrabbit. Less of a gambler. I wrote a piece about him gambling. I thought it was very interesting what he talked about. You know, I pick one situation, formation, and that's what I look for during the game to go take my big chance. You know, I talked to one personnel man who said, you know, he's kind of rated him as better than Malcolm Butler, which surprised me. But, Joe, I can't say they're better until I see them do it in games. I'm still wary of seeing them line up. You heard me ask Shane Bowen, like on 3rd and 4, are you really not going to line up 8 yards off? And until I see them do that. You know, I'm not as confident in Christian Fulton as everybody seems to be. I'm really worried about Caleb Farley not being ready. I think it's a better potential group than last year. But I got to see it, you know, and we all do it every year. We put too much stock in the preseason. Every year I try to fight against that current. So I'm trying to do that. We don't know about the defense. You know, people are asking me, what's gotten better? More the pass rush or the secondary and the coverage. I don't know. We can't know.
Paul, as I sat there last night and watched Ryan Succop drill yet another winning field goal for Tampa Bay, I thought about the Titans kicking carousel that they've had the last couple of years, and Sam Ficken, obviously the guy heading into Sunday. If he gets off to a start similar to Goskowski last year, are the Titans as patient with him as they were with Goskowski? How secure do you think Sam Ficken is in his job as they head into the season?
I think he's pretty secure unless somebody that they really like comes free. And I think hiring James Wilhoit was a really smart move, probably late to hire an expert based on what's going on around the league in terms of having, you know, a kicking expert work with your kicker. I mean, he really did everything they could have asked in this preseason in terms of consistency and everything. It's not the same as high-pressure kick in a game like Succop hit at the end yesterday, obviously. But, you know, at some point you've got to take one of these guys. Almost every kicker starts like this, right? He drifts around a little bit. He's not so good. He lands with his second, third team and finally takes off. And, you know, Titans, Rob Baronis was like that. He played arena football. But other than that, you know, Al Del Greco, Joe Nedney, Ryan Succop, they had veteran guys who had success before. This is a different path. But if they hit on this guy, he's young and could be their guy for a long time. And they're probably due to take that route finally. So you cross your fingers and hope. You know, kickers are such a variable thing. you don't know what you're going to get until he takes off. But they're due to settle this thing down, and they've been so nonchalant about it for so long, it's kind of silly. So hopefully he gives them some stability.
Okay, so last year in the slightly less anticipated season than this year, you picked the Titans. Did you pick them to win it or just to get to the Super Bowl last year?
No, I picked them to go and lose to New Orleans.
Okay, so I don't know if you've got a prediction timing or place or whatever, but what's your forecast right now, 2 days before this game?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll win the division, and I think they should win the division rather easily. If they're healthy, they should be very good. And I think that they, you know, I won't be surprised if they challenge Kansas City to get the bye in the AFC. You know, I think it's a disappointment if they don't get into the playoffs and make a run. But I'm not picking them to go to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row. That would be silly of me. Maybe I was a year too early. They should be very good if they're healthy. But I was saying on our show yesterday, you know, we talked. Now, I know you think Nick Westbrook-Ikhina is the solution to everything.
Yes, Jones, there we go.
If Julio Jones goes down, right, they're right back where they were in receiver situation. A.J. Brown is automatically doubled. Look, Chester Rogers and Marcus Johnson, who's on IR right now, were phenomenal through camp. But Josh Reynolds has been largely a zero, and I got crucified for saying so. But if, and thanks for having my back on that, Joe.
You're very explosive.
If Julio Jones goes down, they're right back where they were. A.J. Brown gets doubled all the time. Wide receiver 2 and 3 are question marks in terms of their how threatening they are, and they're not as dangerous on offense. They're really dangerous on offense right now, right? But they're one injury away with the wrong guy from having trouble, and that guy happens to be injury prone. So I worry about them from that perspective. And I'm really worried about them at the beginning now just because they haven't had any offensive cohesion, right? They're going to have had 3 practice days with everybody available after 40 days or 50 days of practice. So I think they'll be very good. And I think, you know, it comes down to can they stand toe-to-toe in the playoffs with Buffalo, Kansas City, Cleveland. I like the Chargers a lot. And it should be a fun ride.
Paul, as we let you go here, I just have to point out that on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, on multiple social media platforms, a lot of people on Team Paul right now over Team Rex Road.
Well, then we'll give them a lesson in English and logic, too. That's fine.
We had a caller, too.
I'm happy to educate everybody. Wait.
What you do, Joe, is when you lose the question, you change the question so that you win the question.
I read it. I read it word for word. So did you. I mean, I will
what
get it.
What was
I'll get,
the most anticipated?
I will
so
get
you're
it.
Asking when that season happened, what was the anticipation level of that season?
No.
So that's taking this season out of it. Previous to this season, what was the most anticipated? Last season. Most recently, most anticipated. Last season.
It's
thank you.
We don't have time.
We
don't have time.
Take care, everybody. Have a good day. Enjoy TD at the top of the hour.
That's right.
Outkick 360 is on at 2 o'clock. PaulKuharsky.com has a great preview of the game from Blake Bedingfield, the former Titans scout. Have a good day, everybody.
That's right. Check it out. Paul Kuharsky,
junior high English
from Outkick 360 and PaulKuharsky.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rexer. We'll come back. Time for Call Your Shot Friday. Take your reaction as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 1025 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here, member FDIC. And it's a special edition of Call Your Shot Friday, brought to you by Fiero Tequila, the spiciest infused tequila on the market. The world belongs to the brave. Call Your Shot Friday here. How'd we do last week? All right, we had a pretty heavy edition of Call Your Shot Friday last week. College football beginning last Saturday. And lots of spicy takes last week for Call Your Shot Friday. I know that I got one right, had the called shot last week of Alabama winning by 28+. Felt pretty good about that, even though that spread was a ridiculous 18.5.
Yeah, I finally just got to our shots from last week. I'm still flustered, you know, angrily texting Paul. I can't believe you people out there. I feel like lately, between Jared and Paul, like I'm all yelling all the time and like my blood pressure's high. I mean, this is not good for health. Okay, last week, you had Tide winning by 28-plus? Yes. Georgia beats Clemson on the final drive. JT Daniels leads it? No.
They did win.
Ken Seal throws 4 touchdowns versus ETSU. Oh,
boy.
And Nashville SC
scoring in the opening 10 minutes.
Okay, I wrote Nashville SC opening 10 minutes of game. I'm like, yes, they will open the 10 minutes of game. Okay, so you did not get
that one.
Okay,
slightly after.
Michelle, Western Michigan beats Michigan. No. Clemson wins and UJ no score until the second half. Also no. You had US beating Canada in a shootout 2-1. You got a called shot that you will throw a strike Sunday for the first pitch. So
Still, I guess we'll
just continue. We'll pay forward that called shot. You said strike zone-ish.
Zone-ish, yeah. Considering all my other shots were just god awful.
Well, you had Dak won't play Thursday versus the Bucks. Okay, well, that was a tough one. Hey, it happens. I had Will Shepard more than 150 yards receiving and 2 touchdowns. He did have a good night, but no, there were no touchdowns for Vanderbilt. Davion Davis, 2 sacks, no. So there's 2 Vanderbilt shots that didn't work out. UCLA will straight up beat LSU. Got that one. And I had Florida State shocks Notre Dame, and my goodness. I almost went 2 for 2 on the college football excitement, or college football upset front, but not bad. 1 for 2, almost got 2. So here we go.
Here we go. Ready to go for this week. We'll take your called shots on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Michelle Knezovic, would you like to kick us off this week and call your shot Friday?
Heck yes. I just cut you off there because I'm so excited. I wrote them down, guys. We got some good shots today, all football. Okay.
I like it.
Titans, starting off Titans this Sunday. Since we've been just waiting for that Tannehill-Julio connection, I'm going to say Tannehill throws 2 touchdowns to Julio Jones.
I like it.
Okay, Mr. Spider-Man, as Robbie referred to him. Next, we've got Kentucky football.
Uh-oh, Catterday.
Catterday versus Missouri. I'm going to say Kentucky wins, Missouri doesn't score.
Wow, Mizzou scoreless.
Mizzou scoreless. They're just going to Catterday all over them.
That's actually, you know, kind of, that's one of the, we talk about this week, not a great week. I mean, that's a, you know, it's an SEC game.
I know, I was kind of surprised when I looked at the schedule.
A little Catterday, okay.
I'm going to put a little fantasy in there. Robbie and I go against each other week one for fantasy football. I beat Robbie.
Oh, well, you're off to a good start. Mike Evans did not help me out very much last night.
Is that a shot? I mean, should there be like a margin, you know, like a real... Like you will blow him out by 30-plus.
I'll blow him out by 30-plus, Joe. I like that one.
There you go.
How do you feel about that? And then lastly, in honor of this week, you know, we've talked a lot about Buffalo. It just so happens that my Pittsburgh Steelers are in Buffalo this Sunday.
That is true.
What are the odds, right, guys? I don't have a crazy shot, but I'm just going to say the Steelers roll over Buffalo in New York State. And Buffalo fans, the Buffalo Mafia, whatever they call themselves.
Your week-long war with them.
Yeah. And then I win. And then, yeah. So that's so it.
Okay, that would be a shot.
That would be a shot. The Steelers straight up win. You said roll over. Also, you want a margin here? Or are you just going to say W?
Let's just do W because I just have not been winning my shots lately.
Well, that's a shot. That's still a shot.
The Steelers will win that game.
Absolutely.
So those are mine. Who's next?
Joe Rexroad. Go ahead.
All right. So I've got two from each of the next couple games. Actually, you know what? I'm going to add one at the end. So I'm going to go 5. So I got to go fast.
Okay. Go very fast.
Pittsburgh will sack Joe Milton 5 times.
Okay.
Joe Milton will complete 2 passes of more than 50 yards.
All right.
Derrick Henry will exceed 150 yards Sunday. Bud Dupree will have 2 sacks Sunday.
Wow. Okay.
And Vanderbilt will score 2 offensive touchdowns Saturday, which
that's a shot.
That's a shot.
I think that's a shot.
Yeah, I think it qualifies. Good
so
stuff.
There you go.
I'll go quickly. Derrick Henry ends up between 148 and 158 yards on the ground. I've got a 10-yard range. He will either have somewhere between 148 and 158 yards on the ground. So Derrick Henry, a very specific amount of rushing yards. And then my second and final called shot for the week, Aaron Rodgers, four, count them, four touchdown passes on Sunday against New Orleans. Down in Jacksonville, neutral side game, that Green Bay Packers offense picks up where it was left off last year. Very explosive. Four touchdown passes.
Four touchdowns.
For Aaron Rodgers.
Nice. Okay. I like the specificness of your of your Derrick Henry. So
I feel like I deserve a lot of credit. If it's somewhere between a 148 and 158 for Derrick Henry, that's a pretty narrow range.
That's a good So is that more of a shot than more than 150?
Yes.
Yeah, because he's confining himself between 10 yards. But I'll just stick with
– You just stick with whatever.
I'll just stick with – yeah.
That's fine. That has been today's edition of Call Your Shot Friday, brought to you by Fiero Tequila, the spiciest infused tequila on the market. The world belongs to the brave. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD as well. We'll continue to look ahead to the Titans Week 1 matchup against Arizona. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.